Welcome to Gen Z Hoops, the Gen Z basketball, coaching, and sports business show. On this podcast, you'll learn from professional players, coaches, and executives from all over the world and see the court in a brand new way. And now, joining you courtside, your Gen Z host, John Hartafillis.
Welcome to a special edition live episode of Gen Z Hoops here outside of TNM in the Cox Pavilion here at NBA Summer League. I'm really excited for this one. I want to thank Mr. Albert Hall, Ryan over here for letting us use this set and doing this live show here with a nice logo on the background. This is awesome. I'm really excited.
It's big time, baby. This is how we do it out here.
So big time. I'm joined here by Albert Hall, one of the co-founders of NBA Summer League, right? The big boss running the show here, helping this thing keep going year after year and even this year, right? Going through so many obstacles to make this happen. I really just want to know, how did this all take place? How did this happen this year?
John, thanks for having me. You know, appreciate you. I think Gen Z Hoops and what you're on to and your hoop swag stuff, I think it's all great. I mean, want to also thank you for coming out and attending SBC Sports Business Classroom. That's always a big part of Summer League now. But for us, you know, we had to get back. I mean, having to take a year off in 2020 was a challenge for us all. You know, we're a small business just like anyone else. We want to be able to get back in and start working and putting our people and employ them and also, you know, pump some money back into the economy as a live event in Las Vegas. I mean, this is what this city and this town is built on. So for us, it was really important. We didn't want to take 2 years off. That was one of the things where, you know, history shows you do that and that's even so much harder to come back. And so we put a flag in the ground thanks to the NBA and thanks to our partners here locally and nationally, ESPN, all of our list of supportive partners. We wanted to do it, so we put a protocol plan in place and started working from that, and it pretty much changed daily. That was the thing. We had to be very flexible on the fly this year. It changed daily, and as we got closer, we realized, look, we can pull this off. So, you know, come late May, we contacted all our teams and broadcast partners and knew, look, after this, we're gonna go full speed ahead. And with that, you know, there's a lot in the city. You need hotel rooms, you need transportation, you need travel. You know, a lot of those things need to be put in place months in advance. So we really put together this year's Summer League in really less than 2.5 months.
It's incredible, right, thinking about that and how amazing it's been, right, despite all the challenges you've had to overcome. You mentioned, right, it being a small business like anything else, but obviously, right, there was a beginning to this back almost 20 years ago. What did that maybe look like for you at the beginning, right, handing out flyers, right, trying to get this thing off the ground? I mean, how did that turn into what it is now? But, I mean, going back then, I mean, how did it even get started?
A lot of hard work, but passion, you know, and fun. Like, we've had fun every time, and you've had fun out here this week. You know, but there was a vision, like, if we can do this a little bit better. There were summer leagues already taking place in Los Angeles and Utah and whatnot. And Warren Legarry and I, you know, have known each other for a long time. We used to go to those leagues and say, gosh, you know, if we just got everybody together, we could do this so much better. And we're able to bring it to Las Vegas. And through the help of a couple early, you know, deals that fell our way, we started with those six teams. And, you know, since have grown it to 30 teams. And in a typical year, we have a ton of off-site events, workshops, you know, gatherings of business industry minds on how to make the game better, how to grow their franchises, how to become a better coach. We did pull off our international coaching clinic this year, which was great.
Awesome.
So we had guys like Sean Sweeney and Jenny Busick and Quinn Snyder. So we had a number of those people. But look, as this thing has grown each and every year, we're trying to add new wrinkles and make sure we do the best that we can. But this year, less was more, right? We wanted to just make sure we could pull off the event flawlessly. And once we did that, then, you know, I think we're already planning ahead on what next year could look like and some of the integrations that we put on pause or put on hold and how we might roll those out again next year.
I can't wait for next year. I don't want to get ahead of myself, but I'm already counting down the days to that. Once this trip's over, I'll be thinking about 2022. But you mentioned, right, about how other summer leagues are taking place in other cities. You've mentioned Las Vegas is the 31st big NBA city.
Sure.
I mean, why is that? What makes Vegas such an awesome place to host NBA Summer League?
Well, I mean, it's Las Vegas. There's something for everyone. You know, it's not all just, you know, nightlife and craziness. It's like there's activities, there's stuff for kids, there's direct flights from everywhere in the United States and even globally, right? So that's where that destination of convenience, Las Vegas, is like no other. And I think for us, it was welcomed. When we first came in, you know, the hotels are like, how do we fill rooms during those off hours or off days in the summer months? We do that. I think the NBA looked at it as this is a nice way to bridge our offseason, similar to what the NFL has done with free agency. So now it's free agency, summer league, draft, showcasing your rookies, you know, start to develop some timelines and some storylines going into the season. I think you saw that this week with a guy like Jalen Suggs or a guy like Jalen Green. You know, how are they going to showcase him? Now when the broadcasters go to look at key matchups during the year, they look and go, you know what, Orlando might be an interesting team on some of these broadcasts, not just a throw-in game that guys, you know, just they take for granted. They might be able to bring them back in and say, hey, let's make that a marquee matchup and start to build the stars of these younger players. And that's what they tend to do, is if you can build that up early, summer league sets the tone and kind of sets the template for that.
Well, there's so many examples of that, right, of guys that come and have big summer leagues, and now they're household names and everyone knows them. I mean, who are some of those guys that you were just, wow, like they came to summer league, they performed, and now everyone kind of knows about them?
Yeah, I mean, Damian Lillard, as Dame came in and took the league by storm, Donovan Mitchell, you know, Brandon Roy back when he was here. You know, guys that just once they stepped on the court, you're like, wow, this dude is special. I think Suggs had that this week. I mean, unfortunately, he got hurt. He wanted to play, but, you know, he had that. I mean, Green had that. Cunningham had that a little bit. He plays at his pace, not as flashy, but very steady, very consistent. Big size for a league guard, you know. So you're looking at guys like that, and I think every year there's people. This year it's Cam Thomas, right? I mean, this guy's dropping 30 a game pretty easily. Like, he can really score. And so Brooklyn, you know, they lost Dinwiddie to Washington, but all of a sudden they may have picked up another off the bench score type guy like that. You look at a guy Milwaukee just finished, Jordan Nwora, a young player. I mean, he's a 20 point guy, you know, pretty easily. And you look at kind of in that role of Chris Middleton, you know, mid-range game, a big guy who can handle it and plays at a good pace. I think that's what you're seeing, too, in summer league is college, you either play this frenetic fast or you're in a 50, 60-point slow-down game. Summer league, you don't have too many high-scoring games, but you play at a fast pace, right? So how do guys adjust to that? And I think that's can translate right away. If guys are comfortable playing at that and they don't have to think the game, they just play the game. I remember when Russell Westbrook was here, you know, and you saw that early on, like, wow, this guy is so, so athletic and so fast. It, for him, it was more like toning it down, right, and finding that comfort level. You know, and you go back to a guy like Steph. You know, he looked like he was all of 15 years old when he was here, but you knew he could shoot it already from college, but you also knew, look, this guy plays without the ball as well as anybody has in a long time.
So all these guys, right, I mean, when you're talking about at least guys who end up becoming high-level players, obviously have all this talent, all this athleticism. They're making some highlight plays, and a lot of that stuff, right, is going up on social media right away and generating a lot of looks for the summer league. I mean, how have you guys kind of leveraged using social media or technology to really just broadcast what, all the great stuff that are going on within these walls?
Yeah, I mean, that's the big secret sauce these days, right? I mean, one ingredient of it anyway. You know, we've iterated over the years. We've found ways to leverage social media to, you know, pronounce who's going to be at Summer League, to get the dialogue going. Now it's taken to a whole new level because there's so much content out there. It's like, how do we differentiate, right? So when you have Giannis here, you know, doing a signing, a painting, or you have LeBron and Russ and Russ's first kind of appearance as a Laker, and you have Kawhi and PG saying, hey, you know what, we're here, and guys work out. Those are big moments that we want to capture and get out there, in addition to, you know, everything else people are doing on social. But it just shows that Summer League is still just that great festival-type atmosphere where people can come out. You can watch 8 games a day. Even on a typical year, there's stuff going on in the concourse quite a bit, so people have things to do. This year was a little bit different, but it's still that, you know, an excellent family-friendly environment and fan-friendly. But also, you know, it's just one of those where each year we try to do a little something different and everyone has a little slice of Summer League that they can talk about.
Everyone has such a talking point to talk about Summer League, whatever avenue you're talking about. And we've both been looking out. We see all these people we know maybe walking by the set as we're talking. I mean, you can really bump into anybody, right, the moment you step the foot onto the concourse. I mean, what's that kind of like in terms of you, of course, seeing how you could just see someone you know at every corner of the building?
For me, it gets a little exhausting sometimes just because, you know, we have to shake so many hands and kiss babies. But that's all right. That's what Warren and I do. You know, and now we have other people that are doing it on our staff, which is great because that's just, I mean, our staff's a big family. Some people elevate roles. You're seeing Ryan Gentry produce this show. You know, he started out early with us. So, I mean, everybody develops. And for us, it's just, look, that's part of the allure, right? You see the people come. You develop a lot of talent here at Summer League. You know, when we first started, obviously it's for the players on the floor to get better, but you're also seeing the coaches get better. We have a lot of first-year coaches that are leading their teams. I was watching Willie Green last night and Jamal Mosley and some of these guys. And then you're talking about the support staffs. You know, they're all improving. So it's really a way of cultivating talent, and part of that is building a relationship. You know, that's what we're all doing throughout this entire process of Summer League. I mean, it goes for 11 days, 10 days, whatever. But at the same time, it's like those are valuable moments for us to develop a network. Shit, you and I are sitting here right now, you know, and I met you yesterday, and it's like, look, I like what you're doing. We now have, you know, develop a relationship. And I think going forward, you're one of those guys that, hey, we can keep an eye on what you're doing. What we've done with this studio has been a hit. You know, in a year of COVID where we couldn't really activate a whole lot. I mean, this is strictly with people that are part of our network, right? So they're all vaccinated and they're all part of this program. So we have that safety zone. This is the first time I've taken off my mask. But I just wanted to do it while we're on camera here. But nevertheless, it's one of those things where we developed a talent, we developed a product, and I think this is here to stay. And as these things grow, now we're going back to your social media. It's like, how do we distribute this content, right? How do we grow brands like yours in what we're doing with SBC and No Trade Clause and some of the guys that have come on from Blue Wire or something like that who've been helpful with us promoting this week. So, look, we're always learning. I think this is one of these areas where we have to develop the kind of the blueprint for what you can do going forward safely. You see Clorox everywhere. I mean, we've continually cleaned our sets and wiped and, you know, the masks, everybody's been great. But I think that's an important part of it is how do you make things better in a safe environment, and we plan on doing that.
So you mentioned things like Ryan right here killing it with this awesome set, and it's just SBC in general, right? And there's kind of theme of right relationship building, but of course also like people acquiring skills. That's all I did maybe at SBC was just right pick up all these things from being in this booth, something I'd never done before, right? Having a headset on, broadcasting games. I mean, starting with SBC, what's it kind of like seeing that program grow hand in hand with Summer League as these years kind of gone on?
It's phenomenal. I mean, I think the value and the quality of the students and the quality of the content and the curriculum, second to none. Something I'm very proud of. I mean, we've put a lot of work into that. Larry and Larry Kuhn and Eric Pincus and Bo Estes and Jeff Fellinzer and Dave Dufour and Amin El Hassan. I mean, we have a lot of great people that have just helped with that program. Ryan McDonough, just because it's sincere, right? And they see the level of and skill level and quality of the candidates that are coming out of that. I mean, we're getting people jobs. You know, that's at the end of the day, that's why we do it. You know, it's an investment in your future versus, hey, this is a cost. It's like, now a lot of these people, it's the best money they've ever spent by attending these courses, doing the work. And then the beauty is we now have our own portal called VSL Talent, which is all kind of a behind the scenes, you know, job posting type of thing where teams will call us, hey, do you have somebody who can do this, this, or this? And now we have the ability from SBC and our Summer League program to send them five or six names right away that have already passed the first test by just being able to be a part of the program, you know, excel at it, and then prove that they're you know, worthy of us recommending them. That's the biggest thing. You know, not everybody passes that test, and it's easy to just get, you know, your name on a resume and throw it out there, whereas you do something with SBC or VSL, you know, from an intern program, they know you guys have already put in the work, the initial work. So now it's about going back what I talked about earlier with the recommendation and the network and relationship. Now it's a matter of, hey, how does that relationship play out? And it can help you, you know, take that next step in your career.
Definitely, and I've enjoyed my experience so much. I'm seeing it all maybe play out here as the days wind down of NBA Summer League. But I want to thank you so much for coming on the show, letting me use this set. This has been incredible, a dream come true almost, as these days wind down. And it was awesome right hearing you talk about just Summer League, how you maybe started it, how you, this entire day was this entire week was able to take place here. Thank you so much for everything, and I really appreciate this.
Yeah, no, and if I could ask you just before we wrap up, like just kind of what got you going. Like it's easy to do an interview, but I think it's best when you have like back and forth dialogue. But like from Gen Z Hoops, you know, we heard millennial, 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 right? Now it's Gen Z, Gen Z. And we get it. I mean, it's a digital age. I have a daughter, 13-year-old daughter, and she consumes everything through her phone. She doesn't turn on the television set, and, it's changed. So we're evolving too. But, give me some, tell me a little bit about what your show is the feature of, and how does that Gen Z Hoops differ from, a Bleacher Report or an ESPN?
Definitely. So thank you. And I started the show last year with COVID and everything happening. I've been giving this elevator pitch quite a lot here at Summer League with a lot of different people. But started the show last year, got off a little slow. But I realized how if I really start putting myself out there, sending some cold emails, sending some cold LinkedIn messages, I'd start meeting some pretty incredible people. A lot of my guests actually came through SBC, like a Nick Lages, right? People like that who came through the program. And I started meeting some awesome people who I finally met here in person for the first time. But slowly but surely, growing from one episode a week to two to three to now I'm doing seven a week, doing 275 episodes in the last year now, getting up to today. I think today's 277, 278. But it's been a lot of fun watching this thing grow and being able to share stories about people that maybe don't, like a lot of these G League coaches that don't get the love they deserve. I feel like a lot of these coaches, I'm meeting them all here, and most people are like, oh, you don't know as many players? I know more coaches than I do players through the show, of course, but those coaches don't have stories. And I want to be the person that tells those stories because whether it's someone that went through the coaching ranks and got into a certain thing by the age of 30, or they gutted it out and now they're in a front office because of a cold email that they sent and then they followed up and this happened, or they came to Summer League and they met the right person and things worked out for them because they had the skills necessary. Whatever it is, I get to tell that story with Gen Z Hoops, and I love doing it.
There you go. And then from a Gen Z basketball perspective, you've got the Ball is Life and the Hoop mixtape and everything else, but this is what I always find difficult now because there's more value based on the sizzle than the substance.
Oh yeah.
Right? And especially with that generation where without the hoop, you don't have the hustle. You can never forget your first hustle is what we always say, right? When we're doing our camp circuit and everything. But how do you mold that? I think that's going to be the big challenge going forward for where is their substance? I mean, you look at Mac McClung. It's like the guy, he struggles out here a little bit as a player. He's limited when you get to this level, but yet he's this huge phenom because of what he's done at the grassroots level and the dunks and all that.
Yep.
But finding that balance of substance versus style versus sizzle, right? I think that's where Gen Z Hoops could really come in. It's like maybe almost talking to them in a different language, right? From a Gen Z perspective, here's what matters to you most, the likes, the followers, all that, but it also blending in the substance side of it to know that there is a difference between just what's popular or we call fake famous, right, versus actually what matters. And, these guys actually earning a living playing basketball. And that, to me, that's an interesting just dynamic. I was talking with two legends. You may not even know them. You probably know one, but – Mark Jackson and Vernon Maxwell, these are guys that grew up in the point guard era of the 90s when the NBA was just coming off Bird and Magic and really trying to find itself. That point guard era was amazing, right? Yeah. Those guys really set the tone. And, I mean, there's hundreds of them, but there's really 20 or 30 guys in that era that would be $100 million players plus nowadays. And, again, it's like finding – the Gen Z generation doesn't even know these guys existed, right?
Oh, yeah.
They know, and the Mac McClungs or the Mikey Williams are so much more popular than guys like that who actually
set the tone
for what they're doing today. But to me, again, you don't have to answer it now, but I just think that's an interesting kind of segue for you to be able to dig into a little deeper and expand, because it's just like analytics, right? They come up with all these per and your player ratings and your per 48s and all that. Whereas, hey, how would this guy match up, from a sizzle rating versus a substance rating? So, anyway, just something that us old guys think about.
That's a good stat, sizzle versus substance rating. I might have to look into that a little bit more.
You can steal it from me. I'm okay, man. I mean, I'm all for that.
Definitely, no, and I definitely learning so much. I mean, thank you for kind of interviewing me and turning the tables a little bit on this one. Really appreciate you taking the time. Right? I know so much is going on here at Summer League, and once you get off the stage, you're going to have to shake 10 hands on the way down to the next
game. That's all right. Today's a little quiet on a Monday afternoon. I think eventually we shift some things around. We can finish on a weekend. But, look, we're happy to be here, happy to host guys like yourself. Again, thank you for supporting Summer League and Sports Business Classroom. And keep doing what you're doing, man. We're 100% supported and behind it.
Thank you so much. Really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Gen Z Hoops. Make sure to follow, like, and subscribe on Instagram, LinkedIn, and all major social media platforms at Gen Z Hoops. You can tune in and subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, and every other podcast platform on the planet. Get ready for the next episode.